what, God is. There's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And right this moment, in the next 15 minutes, next hour, whatever, I want to be in your presence. I want to be at your feet. I want to be listening to your voice, not the voice of everything else around me that's distracting me.
Thank you. Thank you. just that your people are where you want them to be.
Thank you.
that some of you are far more personally connected to Dave and Kathy than I ever was. And so I just have this, though, this feeling of partnering in that grief, though, in a way that just has really touched me and shaken me up this morning. And over the last 2 years, I've learned so much about grief in a personal way, going through grief in ways that I had never experienced before in my life. And I keep discovering new things about the way that grief affects us, the way that different experiences will tap into your own grief, and even in sharing grief with someone else, how there's just dynamics to life there that are I'm just still learning about. And this is one of those moments where I'm just really feeling a lot of that impact in that partnership with you. But this morning, the message, I titled it, "We All Fall Down." And where the Lord had me just focused is on that we all fall down one way or another in our life. We go through experiences where we fall down. But the flip side of that is this, that the Lord is the one who is there to lift us up. In fact, those are the scriptures that I found myself focused on this week was scriptures that were saying, the Lord will lift you up. And I knew a couple of those scriptures, you know, off the top of my head, I knew a couple of scriptures that said that, and I started going to those right away, but I did a little search through the scripture. I was looking for other places. I wondered if there were other places where that phrase was used, because I know whether that phrase is used or not, implicitly, there are lots and lots of places where the scripture would say that God is there to be our strength, to raise us up from the pit, to bring us forth out of the grave, all of those kinds of things. But I went looking for some other scriptures that speak to us about the Lord will lift you up. And I found several that use that expression that I didn't know about before. And as I was looking at them and comparing them, I realized there were different ways that we fall down, and so different ways that promise is there for us, that God will lift you up. The first two scriptures that I discovered are back in the Psalms, and they're in two Psalms that sit side by side, and one seems to almost follow the same pattern or a lot of the same message as the first, Psalm 145 and 146. And in Psalm 145 and 146, there's a great emphasis on the Lord who is compassionate and who cares for us and who can be relied upon in our lives. And alongside of that, there's a great expression of praise and thanksgiving, this expression of how great God is. And the two of those things actually run hand in hand on purpose. If we look at Psalm 145, the verse that I had keyed into was verse 13. Yeah, verse 13, the Lord, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds those who fall. He lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. For he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name. The Lord upholds, in verse 13, 14, actually in verse 14, the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. This falls in a context where he's speaking to us about many of the ordinary kinds of things that we run into in life, our ordinary kinds of needs and desires that we have a need to be satisfied. Right after the Lord speaks about the Lord upholds all who fall down, lifts up those who are bowed down, says all the eyes of all look to you. There's a need that is being expressed to God to say all the eyes of your creation look to you. It's looking to God saying help, provide for our day-to-day needs. In fact, the next thing it says then, and you give them their food at the proper time. So in other words, this focuses on just very basic kinds of needs and the very basic kinds of experiences that we have that run up and down, that cause us to struggle, to be afraid, to agonize at times. But these are those kinds of normal, ordinary kind of struggles that everyone goes through, both the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous. All of us go through these kind of day-to-day struggles. And in that context, it says the Lord is compassionate. He is righteous in all his ways, loving toward all he has made. In fact, this whole psalm seems to want to drive home that point that the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Verse 8 says, slow to anger, rich in love, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The psalmist here is wanting us to recognize that God is present and is invested with compassion and mercy toward us, toward all of his creation, and is reliable. It speaks of his glory being passed along from generation to generation, because it doesn't just drop off at this point. No, there is a continuum of God's faithfulness, his mercy, his compassion, his investment in our lives. And so that God is faithful and reliable says we can trust him that those who fall, the Lord lifts them up as they are bowed down. Now, you read that and you say, bowed down, does that mean bowed down like came here to the altar and bowed down? Well, perhaps, but some of the other translations give that indication that's more like weighed down, that the Lord is there to care for all of those who are weighed down. This is more like the expression then that Jesus uses in Matthew 11, where he said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, or who are weary and heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. He's saying, all who are weighed down in life's troubles, they're looking to the Lord, it says, and he gives them food. He's there for those basic struggles of life. And the Lord is reliable in all of those things, that we can count on him to not let us down, but to be our help and our supporter. He is compassionate. He is faithful. He is reliable. From generation to generation, we will pass on that news that God is there. And the next psalm, Psalm 146, shares similar expressions of the way that the Lord is working. It says in verse 7, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord, in verse 8, says, the Lord gives sight to the blind, and what? The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Again, it may have to do with that bowing down, but it, as I said again, in other translations, it emphasizes rather that being weighed down, where you are under the crushing load of life. And we should almost see the two things simultaneously to get this right, to get a picture of it. That it's where we are bowed down, where we give ourselves over to him, where we would do as Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to him, be bowed down, be humbled, trust him, rely upon him, believe in him, even when you are weary and weighed down in the ordinary, the problems that life brings, hardships, pain, suffering, death, all of the things that we face day in and day out. But God is faithful and true. Now, how do you get those things applied to your life? Here's one of the things that we have to take away from these two psalms, is that these psalms are loaded with praise, with thanksgiving, with expressions of God's glory and his majesty. Where does that rise from? It rises from his compassion, God's mercy upon all of his creation, God's faithfulness that is so reliable that you would say to the next generation, count on him, trust in him. Because God is so good. God is so magnificent. His majesty is there in his compassion, his mercy, and his grace. And I want to say to you that there are times that it gets really tough to trust in God whenever you're going through the hard times. Our natural reactions to it is to get panicky, to get angry, to become frustrated, and to begin to doubt and fear. All of that just consumes us so easily. But these Psalms demonstrate something. They say that you and I are meant to exalt God, give praise, give thanksgiving. Now, you look at that and go, yeah, that's for the good days, not for the days whenever everything is going down the tubes. No, it's for those days. Sometimes, perhaps even more so. In the midst of some of those moments when you feel absolutely faithless and lost, it's so important to take a step back and to say, do I believe that God can lift me up? Well, let's think about this. Let's talk about what God has done. Let's recount again what the Lord has done in my life up till now. Let's give thanks to the Lord for those things. Let's pronounce His glory, His majesty, because God has shown me mercy. God has been compassionate. I have had food. I have had shelter. I have had all of these blessings of God. You see, it's important that you and I, even when we give thanks at the table and say grace, that we mean it. That we mean it. I could be just as easily hungry and shelterless and impoverished and thrown out in the street as I could be living in a home and being blessed. Thanks be to God who has shown mercy, God who has provided. So often we get caught up in believing in our own strength and forget to give thanks to God. In these scriptures, we're called on to give thanks to God, one generation commending it to the other, meditating. In fact, it says in verse 5 of Psalm 145, they will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. You see, there's something in that draws you and I into a walk with God where it's not just about all the problems, it's about the one who has provided all the way along. And this is where you and I have joy and we have peace and we have satisfaction going behind us, and that's what gives us a hope to see that that's out there before us. That there's yet hope in Him who has provided for us in all of our needs. And so that we give thanks. And I want to say to you that I have found it again and again. Fact of the matter is, I think this message is more for me than for you this morning. Because even this week, the Lord was reminding me to say, give thanks. It's almost like the Lord pinched me at one point this week and said, wait a minute, how long has it been since you just sat down and said, thank you, Jesus? Just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what's going on. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for all these things. And giving praise. You want to live in despair? Stop giving thanks to God for what He is doing. You want to live with meager faith and filled with doubt? Don't acknowledge what God has done. And you will live in that sort of mire of misery. But give thanks to the Lord. Recognize what God has done. Pronounce His glory. Express, this is what the Lord my God has done. And you will be strengthened to have hope in Him and to wait upon the Lord to lift you up, to actually believe that where you are, God can lift you up. How's He going to do that? I don't know, but God will lift you up. I know that God will because He has done it. God will lift you up. Count on Him. He is reliable. He is merciful. Count upon Him. That's where you build faith, to have a reliance upon Him that God will be faithful, and you find your strength than in Him throughout all of these circumstances. So in that, you can say that even when you are weighed down, be bowed down in His presence. And let your heart raise up His thankfulness and praise, and let your faith be built upon that and restored even through the promise of that has been fulfilled already in your life. The second area that I want to bring you to focus on, though, is a bit different from this. It's a whole different kind of context in which we are called upon to trust God and to allow God to lift us up from it. In fact, it calls on us to seek the Lord in a different way in order to allow the Lord to lift us up. This one is in the book of James. The interesting thing is that when we go to the book of James, the next one we're going to go to is next door in 1 Peter. And both of these passages actually quote from the same Old Testament verse. Quotes from Proverbs 3, and both of them quote the same little verse. The verse that they quote from Proverbs 3:34 is, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Both James and 1 Peter will quote from that, but in different contexts and a whole different application to it. But here in James, we're looking in the fourth chapter, and in James chapter 4, here's the issue that is raised. It says in the first verse, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill, covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And even when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people. It's calling it adultery to act like this. It says, you adulterous people, you're being unfaithful to God. It says, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scriptures say without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely, but he gives us more grace? That's why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So in verse 7, he says this, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord. What's the situation here? This isn't just talking about going through life struggles, having the burdens, needing food, needing all of those things that, you know, come along with life. This is now a different situation. He's talking to us about how we are living out our lives and what we pursue as the master of our life. He says, look, if you are letting your desires master you, and your own cravings and desires are the dominant force of your life, well then you're going to end up being constantly caught up in quarrels and be fussed up and aggravated all the time. And he describes this saying, look, why do you have all these quarrels and fights among you? Well, you want something, you don't get it, and so you fight and you kill for it. And sometimes we see little kids do this. Occasionally we think it's funny and cute when they do. Oh, look at them. Aren't they so funny, scrapping like little hummingbirds? You know, but they're actually it you know, it loses its cuteness real quick, though, doesn't it? When kids get like that. I want that. And then, let me hit you with it and take it and run with it, right? We're watching that play out. We've got two granddaughters, and we're watching that play out with them, where the little one grabs stuff from the big one, runs off with it, then the big one grabs it back and smacks her or whatever, pushes her down, and I want it back, you know, and back. And we watch the same scene play out with our daughters. I mean, it's like identical. And I'm sure that we did exactly the same thing with our brothers and sisters growing up. Oh, except Jana, she was the baby in her family. Well, we won't go into all that. But see, so... She got whatever she wanted. Yeah, she is so precious. And but the me, I just whined a lot. And we turn into annoying people. I mean, look, if I didn't get it, I might not punch you, but I might whine you to death. And that's not with anything that comes out of a bottle. That's just out of my mouth. All right. But you know this, it's never cute whenever we do this as adults. I want that, I'm going to get it, you have to do it for me, I want my own way, all of that. Look, he says, you get driven by your own desires, your own selfishness and everything, and he says, you end up scrapping and quarreling, and then you lose your relationship with God. You become adulterous. Your own desires trump God's desire and God's place in your life. Your own desires trump that, and so now they're more important to God. You don't ask God even for what you need. You just want stuff. I'm just going to get it. And then he says, sometimes, see, you don't even ask God. That's how separated you are from God. But then, nasty as you are, you turn around and say to God, hey, I want this. So come on, do it now. And he says, look, you're not getting it on either end because you don't ask God, you're off on your own. And on the other hand, all that you want to do is make God answer to your selfishness, to your own greed, to your own lust. God is not bound to that. Listen, in the Psalms it said God is faithful, he is reliable, but he is not faithful to the wicked. At the end of Psalm 145, and I think also in 146, it said in the end that God does not support the wicked, that God will frustrate their plans, that God does not have a loyalty or a requirement to be faithful to wickedness and to evil, even when it's coming out of your heart. And so that God is committed to you, but to your good, just as we said in Romans 8:28, God will work all things to the good of them who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. That doesn't mean that he is there just to satisfy all your wants and wishes, to satisfy your own selfishness and your own lust and your own avarice. No, God is not there to do that. He will not be faithful to that. In fact, he will stand in opposition to that. And so that you're not going to get what you want whenever all that you did is that you want to make God patsy to answering all of your wishes and wants. And so that there is something about this that is calling us to, in fact, be faithful to God. You said you have become adulterous. Your own desires become more important than God. You don't ask God. You don't have a relationship with him. And even your efforts at a relationship are just the exercise of your own selfishness. He says, when that's your heart, forget it. You need to repent. And it describes repentance in the most passionate terms. He said, submit yourselves to God then. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Come near to God, he will come near to you. And then he says this, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So this is calling us to repentance. And to a repentance that is not casual or cavalier. Oh yes, I know I've done some things wrong in my life, but I'm trying to do my best to do what God wants, and so I'm hoping that it's all working out. That's not repentance. That's actually a roundabout way of talking about your own goodness in the place of God's. No, repentance comes with this humbleness that falls before God and says, I am so unworthy, I am so broken, I am so messed up that I have to have someone rescue me. So please do, rescue me, forgive me, pardon me. And so that this is that kind of a call. It says, look, if you can do that, if you can humble yourself before God, confess and repent of your sin, that the Lord, well, he will lift you up. Isn't that good news? God will lift you up. You're not so bad, God can't lift you up. You're not so far removed from God that he won't lift you up. If you come to the Lord with repentance and with a hunger for the Lord, he will lift you up. And some of us need to hear that. Some of us get into a spot where we may not acknowledge it out loud very freely, and sometimes the Lord has to kind of dig it out of us where we finally realize, I have been pulling away from God because I didn't feel worthy. I've been pulling back from God. This happens, I think, even in a Christian's heart where we will pull back from God because we feel like, oh, I'm so out of step. There's no point, and we start to pull away and distance ourselves from the Lord. He says, come near to me. I'll lift you up. Come and repent of whatever it is that's been pulling you away. He says, come back, repent, humble yourself. I'll pick you up. I will lift you up. I will put your life back in order. I'll lift you up out of that pit. Just come to me, and I will work that out with you. God is so incredibly merciful, compassionate toward all of his creation, and so that we can rely on him, that he will lift us up from our sin, but we have to seek him with that humbleness where we would let our lives be submitted to the Lord in a humility of repentance from our sin so that we can be obedient and faithful to him. Now, the last one. This one, flip the page into 1 Peter chapter 5. And in 1 Peter 5, again, Peter quotes the same verse from Proverbs about God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. But now it's a different context, and we see a different impact come out of it. In the fifth chapter, he's talking about those who are seeking to serve the Lord, particularly those who are seeking to serve the Lord as leaders amongst God's people. He says in the fifth chapter, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, get this. Humble yourselves before, therefore, under God's mighty hand, what? That he may lift you up in due time. And then get this last verse that we'll read. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, this is a passage then where we're not talking about just dealing with your day-to-day struggles and needs. And it's also not pointing at those who are being pulled by their desires such that they are dominated by sin in their lives and coming in that kind of repentance. But rather, this is being addressed to godly people, Christian folks, in fact, to leaders, and saying to them that there is something that you need to maintain in your life, something that you need to get a hold of so that God will be able to lift you up. And what he speaks about then is having this, having our lives set in the right attitude and the right kind of posture before God, that we can serve others and do it in his power and to his glory so that his will and purpose is fulfilled. And that way God's blessing is poured out abundantly, not only upon our own lives, but upon others. So he cautions leaders not to get, not to lose that tight relationship of humility under the hand, under God's mighty hand, and because you might in fact be tempted to corruption, where you would, it would start to become about the money or about the recognition or about the position or about the accomplishment that you're pursuing. And it's so easy, even as God's people, to get so fixed on wanting to do that thing for God to the point that God becomes secondary to that pursuit. That God's calling is so vital to your life that it becomes your whole heart, not the God who is calling you. And that's the cautionary here to us, is to be able to say that. And today I read this last verse, the seventh verse, in a whole new light, because this week it hit me. Cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. How many of you have been in a leadership role and found yourself filled with anxiety and worry over things? Or have been engaged in pursuing something, even I want to live for God, I want to do right for God, I want to do this thing for God, and find yourself then consumed with anxiety and worry and frustration. It's like, oh my goodness, I always separated that verse from all of this. But whenever I read it in the flowing right along through this context and considering what the Lord is calling us to, and humble yourself before the Lord, humble yourself under his mighty hand, and in due time, he will raise you up. God will recognize what you're doing. God will let it bear fruit. God will enable you in this. Let God do it. Let God bring that forth and put all your anxieties on him. Don't be fussed up and frustrated. Let it ride on him. It was like, all of a sudden, it was like, wow, that's so cool. That's so awesome, because it is so easy to get yourself misfocused just that bit while you're trying to do good and trying to do what your hope will bring glory and honor to Christ, to become just that much off center, that all of a sudden you're no longer under his mighty hand and letting him lift you up. You're there to pursue it and to get it done. You're there to accomplish it because this is for Jesus. Or you're there pursuing it and all of a sudden finding yourself wanting the recognition. Where's the feedback? Where's the, you know, payoff to this? I've been working at this a long time. Where's it coming? Let him lift you up. Keep your focus there under his mighty hand so that God will lift you up. What a revelation. What a wonderful word to hear from the Lord, because I find that many, many leaders, in fact, get fraught with anxiety. Many Christians trying to do what's right get overwhelmed and frustrated. They're so worried about doing it right, getting it just perfect, being everything that God wants them to do, that they're just in a constant state of worry and woe. But I want to say to you that if you keep your focus on the Lord, it will keep you in a place where you can let it rest on Him. You know, this week I shared a post on Facebook that was from Babylon Bee. Now, if you ever see a post on Facebook that is from Babylon Bee, do not read it as if it is a serious article. I have watched people read them and then post comments that obviously they thought this was a serious article, and it's like, no, you missed the point. Anything that Babylon Bee says is for fun. It's to be convicting satire. So sometimes people don't get it, just like sarcasm. It's like, oh, missed it. And so they were talking, though, in this article about the Olympic preaching team. And I shared a post on that. I said, yeah, man, ever since I was 12, this has been my goal to be on the Olympic preaching team. And, you know, I even joined a professional travel team for a time, and this, you know, built the challenges in me, you know, and everything. But now that I'm here every day at the Galloway Training Center, I am just hoping that ultimately, even if I don't make the team, that I can glorify God and bear good fruit for Him. Something like that I said in the end. And but you know something, the truth of the matter is that throughout all of that pursuit of God, there was some tongue-in-cheek reality to what I was saying, of getting caught up at times and wanting so desperately to be able to do that thing for God that it can become the source of anxiety and frustration, because that pursuit begins to become the overwhelming pursuit of my life. I want to be successful, or I want to be recognized. I want to do that thing in that great measure for God, all of those things. Man, when you let yourself get drawn into the ambition to do good instead of under the hand of God to be faithful and obedient to Him, you will know it, because you will begin to build your anxiety and fear. You'll begin to worry about failure. You'll begin to worry about what anyone's thinking of you. You'll begin to fuss and be frustrated continually about it. Get yourself under the mighty hand of God. Stay focused on the One who calls you, not the calling that God has planted in your heart. Let Him, at the right time, and God has taught me this and still sometimes has to hit me with a hammer again, at the right time, God will raise you up. At the right time, there will be that recognition. If that recognition is that one day you will have a crown upon your head, as it said here, a crown of glory that He would place on your head. And you know what you do with those crowns? You know what you get to do with them? Remember Revelation chapter 4 and the 24 elders around a throne. And every time there was an outcry by those weird angelic beasts that flew around praising God, the elders would get off of their thrones, take off those golden crowns, run to the throne, and lay them down, saying, "You're worthy. You're worthy." Let God lift you up at the right time. And then you have a crown that's worthy of bringing before the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne and putting it at His feet and saying, You have won that victory, my Lord and my God. I have been able to do what You bid me to do without going ahead of You or falling behind. What joy there is in walking with You, O God. Be under His mighty hand. He will raise you up, and you'll be freed up from the anxiety and fuss that you find yourself in when you walk apart from Him in trying to do what is good and perfect and right in your life. So God is there. He will lift you up. In the everyday struggles of your life, give God thanks. Review and declare His glory in your life. To hold yourself in that walk with Him where you are fixed upon the fact that God is reliable. God's blessings have been flowing along. They have come from generation to generation, and you can announce them to the next generation and even to your own heart in the midst of struggles, and know that God is faithful. His mercies are everlasting. And you may rely upon Him in your life to what? To lift you up. God is there and faithful and true, that even whenever you and I sin and fall into our own willful desires and rebellion, God is faithful, that if you and I repent and humble ourselves before Him, He will lift you up. And God is the one who will take those burdens of anxiety off of you and me and call us into a walk with Him where we will be lifted up at just the right time and His glory would be revealed. And thanks be to God, we get to do the things that God has called us to do. God will lift you up. Do you believe that? Then receive it in your life. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You that You do indeed promise to lift us up. In the ordinary struggles of life, God, we get down and out. We get stuck in the mud. We get buried in a hole. Sometimes we are overrun with depression and worry and fear and doubt, and we just don't know even how to lift up our hearts to pray. And Lord, thank You that You've given us one another to pray for each other and lift one another up in those moments. But also, Lord, thank You. Thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Your blessing that was last week. Thank You for the blessing that was even a year ago. Thank You, God, for the pattern, in fact, that You have set in our lives that shows us that we may rely upon You, that You will lift us up. And Lord, help us to just there give You that trust that would allow You to lift us up in our everyday struggles and needs, even the great crises of our life. And Lord, let us come to You with a humble heart that repents of our sin, that turns to You, knowing that we're never so bad that You couldn't lift us up. Don't let us, Lord, even as believers, pull ourselves away from You and distance ourselves because we have become selfish or we have failed You in some fashion. Lord, just help us to come near so that You can lift us up. And Lord, as we seek to do what's good and what's right, Lord, don't let us become people who pursue those success stories or pursue those objectives in ways that leave us with anxiety and fear, worrying about whether we've done it just right or whether we've been good enough or whether we've accomplished enough or what people think of us. Lord Jesus, let us put our confidence in You and be under Your mighty hand that You could lift us up. And at just the right time, You could deposit a crown on our heads that we could lay at Your feet. For we want to come into Your presence, O Lord, to celebrate Your glory, the glory that You've shown us every single day of our lives, with Your continual mercy and compassion and love. Lord, thank You for all of this, that You will lift us up. We pray it, we pray to receive it in Your holy name. Amen.
Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come.
Let's pray together, beginning with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we pray today, we pray for one another. We pray for one another, O God, that we would be lifted up. And Lord God Almighty, as we've taken note of the prayer concerns on the screen, there's some huge tragedies there. Loss of life in tragic accidents, loss of life in disease, loss of life in murder and suicide. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help these families. Help them, Lord Jesus. We just want to pray, Lord, that you lift us up. Lift them up, Lord. Lift us, Lord, out of this horrendous, miry place where we get stuck in. Bring us, Lord, near to you. Bring us near to you with a humble heart that repents of our sin. Bring us near to you where we can find healing. Bring us near to you where we can change our ways and find a gracious, loving, incredible way to live through Christ Jesus. We pray that you deliver us from evil, Lord. Deliver us. That's what we just said, Lord. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but please deliver us from evil. Lord God, help us. Lift us up. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Lord. Sometimes we see that only in a distance, but we know it's there. We know that at just the right time, you will lift us up. Help us, Lord, to just walk that journey with you now, to receive that promise that you, Lord, will lift us up, so that all that we have, that we struggle with, all, God, that we need to lay down before you, in fact, even the efforts that we make to do good, let us be under your mighty hand so that you would lift us up. I praise you. I thank you, Lord, for your children who are here today. The grace of Jesus Christ dwells in hearts and homes here in this place. I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you for the witness of their lives. I thank you, God, for their witness the last night and being there to worship and fellowship with Christians from across the area. I thank you, God, for the testimony of their lives where they demonstrate what it is to be faithful, when they demonstrate what it is to love and to show forgiveness and mercy, when they act upon your goodness and do good to others, when they, God, are serving you and declaring your word. I thank you for them, God, and I would just pray your blessing upon your people here this morning and ask you to shine in their lives with the glorious radiance of Jesus. I just thank you, God. Thank you. In the holy, perfect name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. Amen. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Amen.